Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus told the story of what it will be like on the last day when he returns to this world for the judgment of the nations. He said that all people would be gathered before him, and they would be separated into two groups as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The one group would be welcomed into the glory and the joy and the bliss of heaven, while the other group would be cast away from God into the sorrow and the sadness and the suffering of hell. And one thing that stands out as the distinguishing mark between those two groups was their willingness or their unwillingness during their lifetimes to have helped and served and loved those who were in need. Our gospel lesson today tells a story of the rich man and the beggar, Lazarus. And in that story, we are told that the rich man died and went to hell. And the beggar Lazarus died and he went to heaven. But we're not told exactly why each went to each place. Although the story does seem to suggest that the rich man went to hell precisely because he ignored the needs of others. Specifically, in our story, the needs of the beggar, Lazarus, who is poor and suffering and dying right outside his fancy estate. Like those goats in Jesus' parable, Matthew 25, like the goats in Matthew 25, this rich man lived in the lap of luxury. And he had the means and he had the opportunity to help this beggar Lazarus, and yet he chose to ignore him. And thus, in ignoring Lazarus, he ignored Jesus too. And thus, he paid the ultimate price for his selfishness, an eternity of suffering in hell. The rich man begged Abraham to send Lazarus back for the dead, to go see his brothers, so that he could warn them, so that they would not go to the same place of torment that he found himself in, so they could turn from their evil ways and be saved. But Abraham replied to this rich man. He said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let your brothers listen to them." And indeed, one of the prophets those brothers could have listened to was the prophet Amos from our Old Testament reading this morning. Amos was sent to warn the children of Israel, folks who were just like the rich man in Jesus' story today. He was sent to warn them to turn away from their selfish and evil ways, and to start to have compassion for those who are suffering. I'd like to read again some of the words of Amos, again in this very forceful prophecy. "Woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria. You lie on beds adorned with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fattened calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions. But you do not grieve the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and your lounging will end. Like the rich man, these gluttonous Israelites were living large while ignoring the beggar right outside their gate. And for that, Amos warned them that they would be the first to go into exile. You see, God has no tolerance for those who ignore the needs of others. You can see that here in Amos, or in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, or in the story of the sheep and the goats, or the parable of the unmerciful servant, or the parable of the Good Samaritan, or the encounter of Jesus with the Pharisees, and so on and so forth. It's all over the Scriptures. God wants us to love and to care for other people. Especially, the Scriptures say, the least of these. Namely, those people who cannot care for themselves for whatever reason. And that care that we give them can come in a variety of ways. Physical, emotional, psychological, financial, gifts of time or money, or lending a helping hand. Sometimes that help is just being there. Being there to talk with that person or to cry with them. That's what the love of Christ compels us to do. St. John, in his first epistle, stated words that I'm sure you're familiar with. He said, we love because he first loved us. You see, being loved by God compels us then to love others. Once you receive love, you want to give love. But John also wrote, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So you see, God's love not only compels us to love other people, God's love calls us to love other people. And all of our loving is always rooted in God's loving of us. A love that we first received as we were baptized into his family. A love that was demonstrated for us as Jesus went to a cross and bore our sins upon himself, dying on that cross, and as he rose from the grave. Because of his great love, God, as he says in John 3:16, he sent us his Son to be a sacrifice for our sin. It's because of what Jesus did on that cross and what we received then through baptism that we know that we will be among those sheep that God welcomes into his kingdom on that last day. We know that because all of our sins have been forgiven. All of our wrongful actions have been covered over by Jesus' robe of righteousness. When God looks at us, he always sees us through the eyes of the cross, which means he always sees us as ones who have loved and who have served and who have met the needs of our neighbors. Even when we're not doing those things. Because you see, he always credits us with Jesus' righteousness through our faith in him. And so we ask the question, well then, if that's how God sees us, what are we to now do since he looks at us in that favorable light? Well, we're to become what he already sees us to be. We're to help the beggar at our gate. To be the good Samaritan on the road. To feed the hungry mom at our door. To visit the person who is shut in or in prison. To pray for those whose problems sometimes are too big for us to really help. We're to be the heart and the hands and the arms and the ears of Jesus. loving and comforting and helping and encouraging and serving those who have needs, whoever they might be. One of the problems with the rich man in Jesus' story, or we go back to Amos' prophecy, the people that Amos prophesied to, the gluttonous people of Israel, is that they didn't even notice the beggars at their gate. They were so blinded by their own selfishness and their own opulence that they were oblivious to the plight of the people around them. So it is that sometimes we too, in our own lives, get so wrapped up with all that's going on, so consumed by our daily worries and our daily schedule, that we fail to notice the struggle of the people around us. We have people all around us every day who are hurting. We're struggling to make it through that day. But so often, their cries go unheard by us, unnoticed by us, because our gaze is upon our own belly instead of outward at others' needs. It doesn't have to be that way, though. See, God has promised to always be with us. He has promised to always provide for us. And so we don't need to occupy our time worrying about ourselves and taking care of ourselves, because God's going to do that for us. We can put our energy, thus, into caring for others. You know, our hearts have already been changed. They were changed by God's love and His forgiveness in the moment of the miracle of our baptism. We just have to get our eyes to catch up with our hearts. If we can begin to see what God sees, begin to look at others the way that God looks at them and looks at us, will then be in a better position to help them in their needs. I pray that God would give us such vision, that we may be able to see the hurts and the needs of the people around us, and that we would then respond to them as God would have us to, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.